Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of OEM TV. I'm Eric Mills with Microsoft. I do Windows Server Marketing for Microsoft, and this is going to be a cool episode because you're going to get to learn all about shielded virtual machines. Virtual machines have been around for a long time, but now with Windows Server 2016, we're able to encrypt the virtual machines using essentially a virtual TPM chip and BitLocker technology. So the ability to encrypt virtual machines is really going to increase the security level of your virtual machines, and that's one of the key pillars of Windows Server 2016 is increased security in order to safeguard your business. So we'll have Paul Morse with us. He's going to talk more about the details of shielded virtual machines, when to use them, how to use them, and I hope you learn a lot about this. And after this, we'll do a quick demo. So hope you enjoy the chat from Paul. We'll see you next time on OEM TV.
So the agenda here is we'll define the shielded virtual machines. We'll look at some deployment scenarios and then the requirements. So in terms of an overview and a little bit of a definition, shielded virtual machines evolves the concept of a guarded fabric. So it's a Hyper-V powered virtualization fabric, which is really critical. In the past, hypervisors were basically, they're very capable, but they weren't very smart. You couldn't consider a hypervisor environment a fabric. If you wanted to have some level of commonality between the systems, you would have to do that in other add-on software. So with this fabric concept being brought into the virtualization layer, it's really, really important because then there are things you can do once it's a fabric that you really can't do if it was just a virtualization layer. And so with shielded VMs, you have encryption of data both at rest and in flight, and that's critical. So the virtual TPM enables the use of disk encryption within a VM, and it says EG BitLocker. So if you think about this, BitLocker is primarily a hardware encryption technique. But if you can then virtualize it and have your virtual machines have a BitLocker-like capability where the disk drive itself, the VHD or VHDX drive is actually encrypted, and then also the data is encrypted that's associated with that virtual machine if it's running, that's a big deal. It's very, very valuable. So both live migration and VM state are encrypted. So not only do you have this concept of, you know, at rest and in flight, at rest, everybody understands that, great, I've got a VHD or VHDX sitting there, and it's encrypted. But for the data in a live migration to be encrypted as well, that's pretty cool. So as the data goes from one machine to another, it's actually encrypted in flight as well. So if someone tries to pick it off in the middle and do something with it, there's nothing they can do because it's encrypted. And so what this allows for also is you can lock out your fabric admins or any admin that you don't want to have access to a particular virtual machine or particular virtual machine's data. So the host administrators can't access guest VM secrets, they can't see the disk, they can't see video, they can't see data at all that's associated with that VM because it's encrypted. And then host administrators cannot run arbitrary kernel mode code. So they can't go in there and say, hey, let me run this piece of code that, you know, if it's a hacker, that they could run it and then suck the data out of that virtual machine or whatever they wanted to do. And then this concept of attestation of host health being required. If you're going to run a virtual machine workload, it can only run on a healthy host that's designated by the virtual machine owner. So not only is the virtual machine encrypted, but the host on which it runs, it can be determined whether it's healthy or not. And if it's not healthy, then it won't run there. It won't run on that particular machine. So you can query the patch level, query the hardware level, do a wide variety of things to ensure that that host is healthy before you actually put the virtual machine on it. And some likely deployment scenarios here. So an enterprise private cloud where you've got sensitive workloads that are natively protected from offline attacks and fabric attacks. So you've got this internal cloud that's running and you want it to be safer. And then for the public cloud, general hoster and tenant environments where, you know, tenants are provided with strong security assurances that their workloads are protected. So you can actually have a particular tenant be associated with a virtual TPM and their own set of keys so that nobody else has access to it, or no, other than the administrators that they want to give access to. And then the hosters are able to credibly ensure prove that their staff cannot access tenant data. And that's always a big deal. As long as I've been talking about cloud, that's the number one objection is, I don't know who has access to my data if I run in your cloud. So the ability to use shielded VMs and use this concept actually helps sell cloud to a very large degree. And then for branch office, you know, enterprise is able to deploy sensitive workloads, locations where copying data off machines cannot be easily prevented. So you can use it in a branch office. Those virtual machines that are running there are actually encrypted. And so if a contractor comes in that tries to get some data out of those virtual machines, they just can't do it. And then for general compliance, so tenants, enterprises able to meet data protection, regulatory, or compliance requirements, this can be a big deal, right? Some regulations require that there's separation, that there's some kind of security separation between virtual machines that are running on a particular system. So there's two modes of shielding. They're shielded and then there's encryption supported. So obviously shielded is the big one, where the OS disk is encrypted. Live migration traffic is encrypted. It uses virtual trust protection modules to seal the keys. And VM console connections are blocked. PowerShell Direct is blocked. Integration components blocked. And then VMs run as a protected process, right? Because a virtual machine really is a process, if you will, running on top of the hypervisor. And then common use case, public cloud, private cloud requiring segregation of admin duties. And then with encryption supported, the OS disk is encrypted, live migration traffic is encrypted, it uses virtual TPMs to seal the keys, but VM console connections are permitted so that people can actually get in there and use the console to get in, and then PowerShell Direct is permitted as well. So it lightens up the restrictions compared to a fully shielded virtual machine. And then common use cases, you know, compliance, private cloud with trusted domain. So this dives down a little bit deeper into what admin access is restricted. And so there are capabilities that might expose a VM state, and these things are unavailable. So VM Connect is disallowed, PowerShell Direct, Remote FX, specific WMI calls, you know, screenshot, thumbnail, keyboard, mouse, specific KVPs are disallowed, host-only items, and KVPs are key value pairs, host-only items, host exchange items, and then guest exchange items, and then guest file copy is disallowed, and then the IMC registry hive injection is disallowed. So people can't access the registry to inject something or change a setting. And then there are several virtual devices that are just removed. So the debug device, serial device, human interaction devices, input manager, RDP encoder, synthetic keyboard, synthetic mouse, synthetic video, and synthetic RDP are all just removed. Those devices don't exist in that environment. And some more specifics. So for the Hyper-V host, it's Windows Server 2016. So the guarded host requires Windows Server 2016 Data Center Edition. Doesn't operate with standard, it requires Data Center. And then the shielded guest virtual machine OS support could be Windows 8 or Windows Server 2012 or newer. And then this virtual TPM is not tied to the physical vTPM. And this is actually critical. If you understand TPM and how it's in the hardware, if you will, this virtual TPM is not tied to that physical TPM. So it permits virtual machine mobility, meaning live migration, which is basically the only way you're going to move virtual machines around. But there are some other aspects as well. If you're doing like a SAN migration or moving data around big time between systems, you want to have this virtual TPM capability. And then Generation 2 VMs only. So it leverages the EFI, Secure Boot, and then the virtual TPM, as we mentioned. And then some more requirements for the Host Guardian service. It's Windows Server 2016, at least Server Core installation. And then a 3-node cluster is recommended for production environments. I mean, with this Host Guardian service, you don't want it to go down. It should be in a cluster. And then recommended is the hardware security module, as critical as Active Directory in enterprise environments. So you want HSM. And then for guarded hosts, Windows Server 2016 data center. NanoServer is supported and recommended. You essentially, if you want to really secure that environment, NanoServer has fewer ports open, it's running fewer services and on, but it's still Windows Server, so you can actually have it be a guarded host. And then recommended is the TPM 2.0 mode. And then optional, if you want to manage the fabric itself above and beyond what's possible in the base Server 2016, like Server Manager and Hyper-V Manager, then you can implement Virtual Machine Manager 2016 with or without Azure Pack. And even OpenStack has a capability to work with this environment as well. So in summary, with shielded virtual machines, owners of the virtual machines can protect their data against online and offline attacks. And then Fabric admins can be locked out. Other admins can be locked out as well. And then the health of Fabric hosts must be measured and assured. And then shielded VMs run only on healthy hosts. And then shielded VMs run only on approved guarded fabrics. And then protections are rooted in the hardware.